Yeah. As I said,
trimmed and clean, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
When Islam says that something is impure, of course, sometimes we may understand some of the wisdoms and hikmahs or behind these kind of ahkam of Islam. There is a very great scholar, Shahid Sani, wrote a book like the Dalail al-Sharia.
Mm-hmm.
And that book, many of these ahkam are explained. But of course, we cannot claim that we can understand and realize the real reason behind these ahkam of Islam. Some of the hikams or some of the wisdoms might be understood. That is why dog is considered as najis in the riwayat, in ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salatu wassalam. It is explicitly mentioned by the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salatu wassalam, that dogs are najis and unclean and impure. So that's why the mm-hmm. impurity of dog should be explained in this way.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. Now let's get to some details. Is selling and buying dogs haram too?
No, there's no problem with that, you know,
okay.
If you sell and buy dogs. The point is that you should not bring dog inside your house, uh-huh. inside, for example, your room.
Mm-hmm.
They should not touch, for example, the things that you use every day.
Or, for example, you cannot eat or drink from the vessel that
the place you pray, they should not be there, for example.
All right.
These are the things. But even, for example, and Sharia says that if you touch a dog
mm-hmm.
with a dry hand, and dog is also dry,
mm-hmm.
there's no problem with that.
Uh-huh.
If there is witness on your hand, or for example, on the body of dog, if this witness transformed to your hand from the body of dog, then that is the problem.
Then what should we do? We should wash our
hands? They have to wash, you have to clean,
okay.
yeah?
Okay.
But if, for example, dog is dry and your hand is also dry, you touch it, there's no problem with that.
So keeping dogs inside the house of a Muslim, is it forbidden?
In a special, for example, part of your house, you uh-huh. have to dedicate a special kind of, I don't know, place or shelter for the dog.
But not inside the house, you mean?
You should be kept over there, yes.
In the yard, for
yes,
example.
Yes, yes. For example, if dog comes inside and go to, for example, to the kitchen and, I don't mm-hmm. know, eat something or drink something from the, let's say, the dishes that you use, then, of course, there would be problem. And also, if dog urinate, for example, somewhere inside the house, that would be completely impure because, according to the Sharia law, such a thing should not happen in the house of a mu'min.
That's right.
Because a mu'min says prayer, and the place that you say prayer should be pure, should be clean.
Mm-hmm.
And you should not pray, for example, you cannot pray in the place which is not pure or which is
That's
impure.
Right. Are there any type of specific dogs which can be kept? For example, the dog of a cattle or for a shepherd or something like that?
No. You know, when it comes to the najasa or impurity of dog, all dogs are impure.
Okay.
Okay? We cannot say that, for example, this specific type of dog is clean and that one is not clean.
Okay.
No. All of them are impure according to Islam. If you want to keep them, of course, you have to keep them outside the house in the yard or somewhere that it could not, for example, make najis your house, your
mm-hmm.
clothing, your dishes, your places that you live in and you pray there.
Nowadays, we could see that so many of the, we can say, people who are living in the Western, liberal capital communities, they have dogs inside their house up to an extent that even the dog is somehow acting like a child to them. So what are the negative effects of keeping dogs in the house, Sheikh?
You know, Islam is the religion of purity, of tahara.
Yes.
Tahara is very much focused in Islam. Islam tells Muslimin that you have to wash your face, your hands every day by making ablution before the prayer. At least you five times wash yourself every day. And when you want to go to the prayer, to say the prayer, you have to be clean, you have to be pure, because you are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why when you enter a house, you see that the people in that house do not care about the najasa or the purity or impurity. It is better for mu'min not to go in such kind of places. If he goes there, then he has to clean. He has to wash, for example, his hands, the body, the clothes, because you have to pray. A mu'min should pray every day. Then absolutely you have to be pure, you have to be clean. Bodily clean and also spiritually clean. Both kind of cleanliness are wajib, are obligatory in Islam. So that's why if you see some people do not care about najasat, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
For example, unfortunately, there are people who when they go to the toilet, they do not wash themselves.
Yes, unfortunately.
So of course, Islam says that in these kind of cases, you have to be careful. When you, for example, with wet hand, you touch them, you touch the vehicles, you touch the furniture, you touch, for example, even the wall, the dishes, whatever they touch, because they do not care about this purification that in Islam it is ordered, then of course you cannot be careless about these kind of things as a mu'min, as a Muslim.
That's all right. Okay. Very good. Thank you very much, Sheikh. It was very kind of you. Nice elaboration. Beside dog, pig is also considered as najis or impure in Islam.
Najis al-ayn, yes.
That's right. Okay. It was very kind of you. Okay. We must know that also eating from dog's meat or flesh is also forbidden in Islam.
Yes, yes.
It's not allowed in Islam to use or consume the dog's meat. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. Please, for more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Pigs and dogs are not permissible to consume for Muslims. So, does that mean we can be unkind to the pigs and the dogs? No. We should be very kind to all living creatures. في كل كبد رطبة أجر. There is a reward in everything that is living, everything that has a liver. Subhanallah. MashaAllah. My brothers and sisters, many people think that because pigs are prohibited to consume, we're allowed to throw stones at the pigs, we're allowed to actually abuse these pigs. That's not true. Be they pigs or dogs or cats or whatever else it may be. There is a narration of the Prophet. He speaks about someone who was kind to a dog and earned the forgiveness of Allah as a result. Why was a dog mentioned? Although dogs are not permissible to consume, and there are certain restrictions when it comes to our relation with a dog. But at the same time, it was the case in order to prove to us that we should never be unkind to any animal, no matter what it is. In fact, even if it comes to lions and snakes and whatever else it may be, you cannot be unkind to these animals. A harmful animal that's coming for you or that is on the line of harm, you may want to kill that animal or that creature if it is harmful. Say, for example, a snake. If it's going to harm you, you may kill it, but you cannot torture it. You must try to kill it in the quickest possible way. That's what it is. Subhanallah. If you're in the line of harm, but you don't go around to the natural habitats of these animals and start singling them out and torturing them, harming them. The same applies to rodents and rats. Sometimes we have rodents in houses, and sometimes we have certain insects and cockroaches and creatures and so on. Don't torture them. That's the bottom line. We're taught not to torture. Some people torture the rats. I remember a young kid who used to put these rats in milk bottles and electrocute them and get joy by seeing these rats being sizzled by electricity little by little. That's not good. That is prohibited. It is also a creature. Yes, you want to get rid of it? Get rid of it quickly. A quick one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. We're not allowed to be unkind to any creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those that are harmful, those that are not harmful. Those that are within what we can consume and those that are not within that. Remember, this advice is golden. And if you're not allowed to be harming any creature, remember the humankind is right at the top of that list. So for you to harm a fellow human being, ooh, the price is payable in hard cash. Subhanallah. The price is payable in something really severe. So don't mess with other human beings as well. Be kind to one another. Subhanallah, we're even taught not to call each other bad names. We're taught, the Quran clearly says, لَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Don't call each other names that are disliked by the other. Don't use titles that are derogatory, because it will hurt people. If hurting people, abstaining from it, goes to this level, then imagine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. May Allah forgive us all and make us from those who care for all the creatures of Allah. And like I said, if you truly have to get rid of an animal or a creature or an insect, let's do it in the best way possible, the quickest way possible, without torturing these animals unnecessarily.
علي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن علي
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Pureza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
With reporters.
On Saturday, as many as 100,000 people took to the streets of the Italian capital, Rome, to stage a demonstration against the European Commission's proposed costly rearmament plan. The initiative, organized by opposition party Five Star Movement, condemned Italy's Prime Minister Meloni's government and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen's rearm plan, slamming the two leaders as warmongers.
They have been playing us all along. They told us that we had to defend Ukraine to defend Europe's freedom and territorial integrity. Dear Prime Minister Meloni, when it comes to Gaza, you simply turn away, pretending nothing is going on.
The demonstration was also attended by other opposition parties, including the Green Left Alliance and a delegation from the Democratic Party. Brussels has opted to rearm itself following the recent overwhelming geopolitical challenges. The EU's rearmament plan aims to mobilize around 800 billion euros over the next 4 years, the bulk of which will come from member states increasing their national spending of military equipment.
The European Union is seen as an entity that throughout two decades has largely impoverished the European middle class by adopting oppressive fiscal rules and pro-multinational economic policies. All this, people complain, has led to painful cuts in social spending and investment.
For sure, such a large expense will lead to more cuts to our struggling education and health systems. It's unacceptable.
Non sono I valori a difesa della democrazia.
Europe is no longer defending its democratic principles. The European Commission is rather advocating for private interests, in my opinion.
Europe has lost political significance over the past 20 years. This is because it's been completely subjected to the U.S. influence, supporting NATO's expansion and all regime change operations in West Asia.
Criticism of Rome's demonstration came from Italy's Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani. On Saturday, Tajani said making citizens safer is the Italian government's priority. Max Civili, Rome.
It is only the second visit after his U.S. trip since the International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant against Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in November 2024 and his first visit to Europe since October 7, 2023. As a party to the Rome Statute, Hungary was required to act on the ICC warrant, but it ignored its obligations. In a press conference, Orban stated that Netanyahu's visit aims to deepen military and intelligence cooperation as well as economic ties between the two sides. He stated that Israel is one of Hungary's largest trading partners.
What makes this matter sad is that today here in Budapest, the killer of 50,000 Palestinian citizens, and mostly innocent women, children, and elderly, is here in town. That's the sad part about it.
While Israeli flags were hoisted on government buildings and all bridges across the Danube, anti-Netanyahu protests have been banned by the authorities.
Since the beginning of the genocidal war, 544 days now, There was a clear position from the Hungarian government saying that any pro-Palestine protests will not be permitted or allowed, and that's why people couldn't express their opinion clearly.
Smaller spontaneous protests occurred throughout the day, resulting in fines and arrests. One activist who had been fined several times stated that she was not even informed of the reason for the fines.
No, and the second time they pretended not to speak English until I was done, they spoke English and told me they do speak English. And when I asked them why, they refused to answer the two times.
Orban is not the only European leader who announced his willingness to defy international law. This state visit could set a precedent many around Europe fear.
This is, I think, one of the delicate elements of this issue, that it's not only Orban. It may be Merz in the near future. Tusk, the Prime Minister of Poland, has said the same.
Despite Orban's breach of international law, European governments have remained silent. As a result, observers believe that this is just the first of several upcoming trips to EU member states. Germany's next chancellor, Friedrich Merz, has already signaled his intention to invite Netanyahu and refuses to commit his country to enforce the ICC arrest warrant. Dieter Reinisch, Budapest.
We are here to denounce the ongoing massacres in Gaza and the Israeli incursion in Dara. The people resisted bravely, sacrificing martyrs in the fight against occupation. We stand with them and will never accept Israeli control over our land.
As Israeli airstrikes on Syria escalate, the response from the international community remains absent. In Dara, however, the people have taken matters into their own hands. The popular resistance in southern Syria has proven that armed struggle remains the only way to confront Israeli expansion.
We stand with our brothers in Dara, just as we stand with Gaza. Resistance will never be defeated. Just as Gaza's fighters remain strong, so too will the resistance in Syria. Syrians and Palestinians are united, and together we will defeat Israeli occupation.
Beyond the battlefield, many protesters also blamed Arab regimes for their complicity in Israel's crimes. Calls for accountability rang out against Arab leaders, accusing them of betraying the Palestinian cause and enabling Israeli aggression in the region.
The Israeli occupation will fall. It's only a matter of time, but those who betrayed Gaza and Dara, like Jordan, Egypt, the UAE, and others, must be held accountable. Their complicity is a crime, and no matter what they do, the people will triumph.
With every act of Israeli aggression, the spirit of resistance grows stronger. Today's protests in Damascus and other Syrian cities are yet another testament to the unwavering determination of Syrians and Palestinians to defeat Israel. Ali Mohammed, Damascus.
In Al-Katiba area in northwestern Khan Yunis, which is included within the so-called safe zone and not far from the infamous Al-Mawasi area, last night the families inside this neighborhood were sleeping and suddenly a massive explosion happened that shook the entire neighborhood. This home, which belongs to Al-Aggad family, was targeted last night, killing the entire family inside this house, father, the mother, and the three little children. But not only that, because of the devastating and massive scale of the bombardment, two of the neighbors as well were killed within this airstrike that was carried by the Israeli occupation.
You can see how closely the homes are built here. We were jolted awake by a thunderous blast, only to find the remains of neighbors scattered across the streets. Our neighborhood has already borne the brunt of Israel's aggression, and now, despite being labeled as a safe zone and instructed to be sought refuge here, we are still enduring relentless bombardment.
the families could collect the remains of the family and the neighbors due to this brutal attack that literally turned the family inside this home into pieces. The neighbors are still cleaning the rubble, looking for any of the remains of the family that was killed here.
The attack was so intense that we thought our home had been bombed, but it was our neighbors. We are still clearing the rubble, searching for more remains of the children who were killed alongside their parents here. These innocent people did nothing to deserve such a brutal end. We call on everyone in the world to put an end to this genocide.
This is the situation inside the so-called safe zone, where the occupation is now directing the families in southern Khan Yunis and Rafah to come to. More massacres and more killing is awaiting the families here who are still subjected to this massive campaign by the occupation that doesn't seem to go any easier on the families here. Ahmed al-Najjar, Khan Yunis.
Whatever goes up must come down. A fitting theme for Yemen's military operations in support of Palestine. The armed forces of Yemen have downed yet another U.S. MQ-9 Reaper drone, an unmanned combat aerial vehicle capable of remotely control.
The Yemeni army's air defenses, with the help of Allah Almighty, were able to shoot down an American MQ-9 drone while it was carrying out hostile missions in the airspace of Al Hudaydah Governorate. The drone was downed with a locally made surface-to-air missile. This is the second drone being shot down in 72 hours and the 17th one during the operations in support of Gaza.
Yemen began its pro-Gaza operations in November 2023. Experts say the growing number of American drones being shot down by Yemen not only reflects tactical success, but signals a significant leap in the country's military capability.
The U.S. is very upset with what they have suffered in the Red Sea and Arabian Sea as Yemen continues to attack them. Moreover, Yemen will continue to advance militarily. Yemen is not satisfied with only shooting down 17 U.S. drones. In the near future, there will be more surprises that will benefit the people and armed forces of Yemen.
Amid the successful Yemeni operations, U.S. President Donald Trump has claimed that the country conducts its attacks with Iran's support, an allegation strongly denied by the Yemenis.
We will continue to support the people of Palestine. Our military success came from the preparation of our armed and air defense forces, and we will continue to counter this American aggression on our nation. We will continue to support Palestine. Iran is an ally of Yemen. However, they have no say whatsoever with regards to our wars and our military, defending our land from this U.S. aggression.
The United States launched intense airstrikes on Yemen last month after the Arab country resumed its maritime military operations in support of Palestinians in war-ravaged Gaza. The Yemeni armed forces have shot down more U.S. drones, demonstrating their growing capability to counter advanced aerial threats and sending a clear message of defiance amid ongoing aggression against their country. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
On Wednesday, a number of Italian lawmakers pressured Italy's foreign minister Antonio Tajani to finally express words of condemnation for the Israeli regime and Benjamin Netanyahu after 18 months of relentless slaughter in Gaza. Tajani answered questions on Israel's genocidal acts in the Palestine during a question time in the Senate. His words were far from condemnation for Netanyahu's heinous crimes.
Our government's position is clear. Conditions for a political dialogue must be created in order to achieve a two-state solution, but without Hamas. I will reiterate this at tomorrow's EU summit of foreign ministers.
I'm flabbergasted. Once again, you haven't been able to express a single word of condemnation for Israel's onslaught of more than 50,000 people in Gaza, many of whom are children. Gaza is razed to the ground. Minister, you haven't been able to say a single word on the one responsible for this massacre, war criminal Netanyahu.
Italy's support to Israel's genocidal operations in Gaza has been so far unconditional. In January, the Italian government told Israeli officials that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu would not be arrested under an ICC warrant were he to visit the country.
War criminal Netanyahu is slated to pay an official visit to Hungary this week following an invitation from Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán. Some Italian lawmakers have said Hungary should deny entry to Netanyahu or arrest him if he sets foot in the country.
Netanyahu's visit to Hungary is one of the many legs of the Israeli government's macabre tour of Europe. We deem Netanyahu and his government partners bloodthirsty war criminals, and unfortunately, the international community and most Western governments have failed to provide any opposition to Israel at all. We must strongly oppose the Israeli genocide by imposing sanctions on Netanyahu's government, including suspending Israel-EU association agreement.
Former EU High Representative for Foreign Affairs Josep Borrell has often insisted on convening a summit with Israel to discuss violations of human rights obligations under the EU-Israel Association Agreement. However, Borrell's successor Kaya Kallas has so far been much more obliging towards the regime than her predecessor, Max Civili, Rome.
Gaza Strip is facing a severe humanitarian crisis as Israeli blockade, now exceeding a month, continues to prevent the entry of essential aid, including food, fuel, and medical supplies.
The Gaza Strip is going through the most dire circumstances ever. The famine is back again, even more severely, as 25 bakeries stop completely. This current crisis is unprecedented, as this is the longest time span of closure of the Gazan crossings by the Israeli regime. This in turn has caused the shortage of flour and fuel needed for the bakeries to operate.
The United Nations World Food Programme reported that all bakeries in Gaza have ceased operations due to the acute shortages of flour and fuel. The WFP emphasized that bread, often the only accessible food for many families, is becoming unattainable, warning that famine is a serious risk looming for the Gazan population.
All the bakeries closed today because of the continuing closure of crossings. All what was stored in our warehouses by the WFP have been consumed completely. So here we are now, without any ingredients there is no way we can work. We used to consume 250 to 300 tons of flour daily, which was less than the actual amount needed for the population. Now there is no choice for us.
The dire humanitarian crisis is further exacerbated by the continuous Israeli military aggression that not only claims the lives of thousands, but also makes survival for 2.2 million Gazans a struggle.
As the blockade endures, the people of Gaza continue to face an increasingly desperate struggle for survival, with starvation looming as a significant threat besides the continuous Israeli aggressive attacks. Ghad Ibrahim, Gaza City.
Mother, don't cry for me, I'm heading off to war. God Almighty is my armor and sword, Palestine, forever Palestine. Children in the sky, they say to their parents, don't worry, God is on our side. Palestine,
forever Palestine. Mother, don't worry when they come for us at night. Surely they'll be sorry when God puts them right. Tell me why they do it, what was done to them. Children of Palestine are fighting for our lives. They say to their parents, we know that Palestine is our right. They say to their parents, we'll fight for what is right. They say not to worry, God is on our side. They say we'll die for
Palestine. In the limelight. President Trump has demanded that France free its far-right politician Marine Le Pen and claimed that she is facing a witch hunt in France. Marine Le Pen has been banned from standing for the French presidency for 5 years. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Independent has covered the story and tells us more. President Trump has demanded that France free its far-right leader Marine Le Pen, as he labeled her ban from running for office a witch hunt. Marine Le Pen was found guilty of embezzling European Union funds to pay party staff in a court ruling in Paris earlier this week. The National Rally leader, once a front-runner in the polls for France's 2027 presidential election, has now been banned from standing for presidential elections, having been handed a 4-year prison sentence, 2 years of which will be served under house arrest and the other two suspended. Marine Le Pen denied all the charges against her. Taking to his social media platform, Truth Social, U.S. President Donald Trump described the court case as another example of European leftists using lawfare to silence free speech and censor their political opponent, this time going so far as to put that opponent in prison. The 56-year-old far-right leader of France, Marine Le Pen, the leader of France's National Rally Party, set up as the National Front by her father, Jean-Marie Le Pen, in 1972, was also fined $100,000 by the court. Although the ban from public office begins immediately, the jail sentence and fine will only be confirmed once Le Pen has exhausted her appeals against the ruling. Earlier this week, Donald Trump compared himself to Marine Le Pen, describing her ban from holding public office in France as a very big deal and likening it to his own experience with the courts of law in the United States. French judge Bénédicte de Pertuis said Le Pen's actions had amounted to a serious and lasting attack on the rules of democratic life in Europe, but especially in France. Marine Le Pen stormed out of the court midway through the verdict on Monday. She was driven away from the courthouse before later taking part in a television interview in which she decried the court ruling as a political decision and claimed that the rule of law had been completely violated. Marine Le Pen is the latest in a series of European hardline politicians for whom Donald Trump has expressed support, including figures in Romania, Hungary, and Germany's far-right AfD party. French national broadcaster France 24, France 24, has also covered the same story. U.S. President Donald Trump, his vice president J.D. Vance, and billionaire backer Elon Musk have all voiced their support for French far-right politician Marine Le Pen after she was found guilty of embezzlement and barred from running for public office in France, particularly the 2027 presidential election. Donald Trump, who often labeled his own legal woes as a leftist witch hunt, drew parallels with Marine Le Pen, the leader of France's far-right National Rally. Le Pen was widely seen as a plausible presidential winner. She was convicted last Monday of misappropriating European Union funds by using the money to pay party officials. She received a 4-year prison sentence, 2 of which are suspended, and 2 of which to be served under home detention. She also received a €100,000 fine. She also received an immediate 5-year ban on running for public office in France that will prevent her from running for the 2027 presidential election, unless the court ruling is overturned next year. The witch hunt against Marine Le Pen is another example of European leftists using lawfare to silence free speech and censor their political opponents, Donald Trump wrote on his Truth Social platform. He added, "It is the same playbook that was used against me." Donald Trump was indicted for covering up a hush money payment to a film star for attempts to overturn the results of the 2020 election that he lost and for retaining classified documents after he left the White House. He was convicted in the hush money case. He denied wrongdoing in all cases and has called them politically motivated. Federal charges against him were dropped following the 2024 election win. U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance, who has accused European nations of democratic abuses by seeking to block far-right parties from office, also weighed in to support Marine Le Pen. J.D. Vance, the U.S. vice president, said, "The Europeans, they're absolutely 100% our friends. But that relationship, it's going to get stressed and it's going to get tested if they keep on trying to throw opposition leaders in jail." Speaking to Newsmax on Thursday, 3rd of April, J.D. Vance said, "Our relationship with Europe is going to get stressed." Meanwhile, Elon Musk, who has lent his support for far-right figures across Europe, reposted Donald Trump's message on his own ex-social media platform, writing, "Free Marine Le Pen." The expressions of support for Le Pen by Washington's 3 most powerful figures underline a growing divergence between the United States and other nations, including many European nations, over how judges adjudicate thorny constitutional questions or wrongdoing by politicians. Marine Le Pen has accused France's judiciary of sparking a democratic crisis by barring her from the 2027 presidential election and called for a mass protest in Paris on Sunday, although there are signs her attacks on judges are playing badly with French voters. Having previously said she backed lifetime ineligibility for politicians convicted of misappropriations of public funds, she said in an interview with Le Parisien newspaper on Wednesday that the charges against her were different.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite Muslim lady. This is Asma. I have the honor to be your host. And again, I have the pleasure to be at the service of Sister Zainab.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming here. I would like you to give us a very brief introduction about yourself for those people who have just joined us.
All right, I'm Turfatul and Zainab Askari, and I am from Kashmir, which is under Indian administration. And I have been living in Iran for some past 9 years now. And I have studied a master's in linguistics, and I have also I'm also engaged in the Hausa studies. And at the same time, I'm teaching.
Very perfect. So for today's episode, we're going to jump directly into the very heart of our discussion. That is trauma. What is trauma? What do we call and how do we define trauma?
Many people mistakenly define trauma as an external event. While, for example, such as divorce, abuse, loss of a loved one, people define this as trauma, right?
They turn into traumas.
However, trauma is not the event, basically. It's mm-hmm. rather the internal response to that particular event. Like Dr. Gabor Mate, a renowned expert in trauma and addiction, explains that trauma is not what happens to you, but what happens inside you as a result of what happens
exactly.
to you. So women are typically exposed to more interpersonal trauma than men, and often at a younger age, which can have a great negative impact on their lives. So even research published in 2017 in the European Journal of Psychotraumatology suggests that women experience PTSD at 2 to 3 times the rate than men do.
Yeah.
So in general, the lifetime prevalence of PTSD for women is 10% to 12%. Compared to 5 to 6% in men. So that's why discussing trauma in Muslim lady
exactly,
seems
yeah.
to be important. Yeah. So apart from all these things, research in neuroscience and psychology also shows that trauma changes the way brain functions. Trauma disrupts the nervous system.
Exactly.
Trauma alters a person's sense of self. It is the internal wound left behind by painful or distressful experiences
exactly.
inside you.
So, and it would affect all your perspectives, all your responses to every other stimulus out there.
Trauma manifests itself in a lot of ways. For example, internally, you are separated from feelings. You know, the brain disconnects from painful emotions as a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
And then it makes it difficult to process emotions or trust one's own feelings sometimes.
Exactly.
You're not able to believe in yourself, your own feelings. So there's a separation from your own feelings because of the trauma you're going through.
So you disconnect from your emotions.
Yeah.
Technically, I guess the emotions that would lead to the same result that you have suffered from.
Yeah.
Because what brain would do in those situations is that to reject all the events that would look alike.
Yeah.
You would never get into repetition. But unfortunately, what happens to traumatic people is to get into the cycle of repetition because you have not solved the traumatic event.
Exactly. And then there's inability to be present. For example, a trauma survivors often live in a state of hypervigilance, that is constant constant alertness or disassociation. That's again mental disconnection from reality.
Exactly.
Due to an overactive stress they're going through, due to an overactive stress response.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this inability to be present, basically.
Yeah.
Trauma rewires the brain's ability to process self-worth, leading to negative beliefs such as I'm not good enough, the world is unsafe, because your brain has now rewired.
Yeah.
Thanks.
To deal with these traumatic events and issues that would happen to all the individuals, but then specifically since we're talking to Muslim ladies, I would like you to talk about the Islamic perspective towards these traumatic issues.
Yeah, first of all, as you yourself said, you have to recognize its impact on your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the very first step. And apart from the scientific and social approach, we'll come to that as well. But you asked about Islamic approach. Like, we have this negative mindset and trauma that maybe I'm the only one. Maybe it's just me.
Maybe there's no way out of it.
Yeah, maybe the world is like that. But no, our life is based on hope. Like, the world
is based on hope.
Hope, yeah. So
hope is the anchor.
So do not never lose hope. Like, we have so many riwayat about hope.
And there's also a poem that says, hope is the last thing that dies. Without hope, life is a broken-winged dove that cannot fly.
Yeah. Also in Surah Fajr, Allah says that there are some people, when calamity afflicts them, they say, I'm the only one. You know, I'm the unluckiest. Same thing that these traumatic people say. But they should know that it's not them. It's ibtila, it's a test. Okay.
Yeah.
So they are in a state of test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reassuring us that no, see, this is not the thing you are thinking. Change your attitude towards it. It's just a test.
And okay. Also we have it in the holy book of Quran. Actually, there's a verse. The message of that verse is this, that there are those groups of Muslims that whenever a problem or a catastrophe happens to them, they would seek refuge to Allah.
Yeah.
And they would say, He is enough.
He's enough for us.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's enough for us.
And that's the approach we should have. Otherwise, Allah gives examples of two peoples in the verse that I have mentioned. It's basically in Surah Fajr. He mentions a group that when calamity does not afflict them and they are using the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they think like they are the lucky people and God loves them and there's nothing got to do with us, but Allah says for them as well. He's the same words. He is ibtilah for them and He is ibtilah for those who have dealt with traumas or, you know, any sort of calamities. And then He says, look, this is a test. Okay.
Yeah, both ways.
Both
if you are actually drowned in
whether
blessings,
whether I give you or whether I
test?
Take away from
exactly.
you. Either way, it's a test.
Yeah.
And then the further verses talk about your theme. Like, never, if I have blessed you with blessings, for example, a blessing of wealth, never think that you're lucky. There are people who do not take care of your theme, take care of orphan.
Yeah.
Maybe your test was to take care of an orphan, but you got so engrossed in this world that you forgot your responsibilities. You forgot your test. You did not remember that you're not a blessed one, rather it's a test.
Exactly. So as we were talking to Muslim ladies, there are many ladies out there who've been suffering from different issues as they were kids. Like they might have suffered from oppressions, they might have been suffering from too much of aggression coming from society, sometimes from family.
Abuse.
From different things.
Women usually have this abuse, be that mental, physical, emotional abuse. They do face this, and that's why it remains. But
since we talked about hope to these women, regarding these women, these Muslim ladies, I would say that I have seen people that have got cured by seeking refuge to God, and most specifically seeking refuge to the Holy Book of Quran. You may not believe that, but I've seen examples that they have got done with their traumatic issues and traumatic problems by just reciting the Holy Book of Quran. And in this way, they get rid of that traumatic feeling that they have got.
That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed in the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find peace, comfort. So apart from that, these people should try to build a supportive network around themselves, for example, with the family, with the friends, because cultivating these strong foundations, strong bonds, strong relationships with trusted individuals, though, it can provide us that support and understanding and that sense of longing these people are looking for. Even in, it's a hadith that whoever eases the hardship of a believer, Allah will ease his hardship in this dunya and also the hereafter.
Yeah.
So it's very important for family and friends to recognize this. Mm-hmm. It's a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, though, on supporting such individuals.
And by the way, there's also another example, like when you know that as a person who does many sins, also the trauma of being a sinner is a problem. Though, as God, He Himself in His book puts it, the doors of repentance are always open.
Always open. Like one of the tricks of shaitan to stop you from repentance is that the first trick he uses is says that you have a lot of time to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're too young to ask for forgiveness.
Exactly.
But if a person is very mindful and he still feels that regret, like in one of the Noble Imam says, that the same sense of regret is really enough. You're actually on the path of repentance.
If you we do that with intention, with the real intention of going through
the
that
same
repentance.
Sense of guilt is actually. So like our deen is so merciful. But another trick of shaitan is like when he sees he has made his mind and they are going for repentance, then he tells him, first he procrastinates it and then he tells them, okay, now the burden of your sins is too much.
Yeah, you cannot do anything.
Don't you feel ashamed to go and ask for forgiveness?
Yeah.
Because the shaitan knows.
So keep going with the sins. It's better for you to at least keep going.
Do not ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Or he keeps him involved in this trauma.
Exactly.
Like this trauma of feeling burden of sins.
Of regret.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So as we're addressing women mostly in here, there's another point regarding traumas. When a person is not forgiven, they would also suffer from this trauma
traumatic
of not being forgiven.
Yeah.
I think that also is a verse in the Holy Book of Quran that God tells us that if you want to give your Philemon something, if you want to pass down something to other people, pass forgiveness.
Yeah.
Try to spread forgiveness everywhere.
Exactly.
So as the part of the person who has done something wrong, you have to go for redemption, for regret. Being regretful also in itself has got so many rewards. For yourself, I mean. You are not going to suffer from that trauma anymore.
Right.
And then on the part of the person who has been done wrong, the wrongness has been attributed to them. For them also, if they forgive, all that trauma, all that repressed feelings and emotions inside of them would be actually solved if they spread, if they pass down forgiveness.
As we also mentioned that trauma is stored in the body and there's this disconnection, but there are so many things you can go for, like, I don't know, I go for breath work, go for exercising, again, which we have a lot of ideas on that note, and listen to the natural music, for example, the waterfalls, the chirping of birds.
The rain,
the chirping of birds, all these things are going to really help.
Nature is going to do you too much of a remedy.
Get back, like, do not lose your connection with your body. Yeah. So you have to get that all back and put that all in one frame again. And know that you can overcome this.
Yeah.
We will overcome the situation. Again, remember the words, Allah does not burden a soul more than it can bear.
Yeah. So I guess this is all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope there would be no pain and no burden hitting your heart and mind. So this was all for today. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
This hour's top headlines. More Palestinians are killed in Gaza as Israeli military pushes ahead with its relentless air and artillery strikes across the besieged Palestinian territory. Lebanon says an Israeli drone attack claims another life in the south as the Tel Aviv continues to violate the ceasefire agreement with the Arab country. And stock markets in Asia and Europe stumble as uncertainties grow globally over Trump's newly announced tariffs against world countries. Hello and welcome. Let's go ahead and get started with the stories that matter. More Palestinians have fallen victim to Israel's air and artillery strikes in Gaza as the regime's genocidal war rages on unabated across the besieged territory. Since dawn, at least 20 Palestinians have been killed across the Gaza Strip. Among those killed in the attacks was a journalist. He was in a tent sheltering journalists near Nasser Hospital in the southern city of Khan Yunis. Israel's attacks have been focused on northern strip, including Gaza City. The regime resumed its offensive against Gaza on